The sun set 20 minutes ago, giving me nothing to focus on but the illuminated California license plate caught in my headlights. I resist the urge to flash my high beams and honk my horn, although I nearly give in when the black Mercedes-Benz sedan weaves slightly to the side before correcting itself. Calmate. You only have 5 more miles left before hitting Main Street. While I'm tempted to cut around the other driver so I can make it in time for my godson's talent show, I don't want to risk damaging my new McLaren by going off-road. I didn't spend the last few years of my life talking myself into buying my dream car, only to ruin the suspension a week after having it delivered. The blast of my phone's ringtone startles me as my cousin's name flashes across the screen. I take a deep breath before stabbing the button on my steering wheel. Where the hell are you? The sound of Rafael's harsh whisper fills the car. I'll be there in 10 minutes. A disapproving hum follows. But the show starts in 5. Don't worry, I'll make it before Nico takes the stage. Not sure how that's possible when he's in the opening act. Mierda. I had no clue. The program schedule got switched at last minute after a few kids came down with a bug. I texted you this morning about it. He doesn't bother hiding his annoyance. My hands clutch the smooth leather wheel. The meeting in Lake Aurora took a lot longer than expected. Of course it did. Things should slow down soon. Sure they will. His rough tone only fuels my irritation. Before his wife filed for divorce 2 years ago, people called Rafael the easygoing Lopez cousin, with him constantly going out of his way to put a smile on everyone's face. Rafael's deep sigh cuts through the silence. It's fine. Nico will understand. My godson might be a mature 8-year-old kid, but he isn't that mature. And after everything he has been through with his parents' divorce, I refuse to add myself to his growing list of family disappointments.
If I had known my return to Lake Wisteria would include a panic attack, a car accident, and a trolley full of townspeople waiting to greet me, I would have stayed in San Francisco. Turns out my plan to run away from my problems had a few major flaws, starting with the man who has spent the better part of his life making mine impossible. Emergency lights flash across Julian's tan, angular face, casting a red glow over him like a devilish halo as he speaks with the sheriff. I was so caught up in avoiding Julian over the years that I failed to notice how much he had matured during that time. Failed to notice? More like was intent on ignoring. Red, flashing lights draw my eyes toward his sharp jawline, only for them to steal my attention again as they highlight his soft lips and 5 o'clock shadow. Based on my eye for luxury clothes and nose for real Italian leather, I can tell Julian's outfit tonight has to easily cost $10,000. A shocking assessment in itself. But despite his pristine suit, perfectly trimmed dark hair, and fancy designer loafers, bits and pieces of the rugged Julian I knew peek through. The slight bump in his nose after I accidentally broke it with my elbow. A thin white scar running across his stubbled cheek from when we thought it was a good idea to compete for who could jump the highest from a swing set. The firm press of his lips whenever someone speaks to him. A habit he picked up when we were kids to stop himself from talking out of turn. As if he senses me staring at him, Julian looks in my direction. The dismissive pass of his rich brown eyes over my body should annoy me more than anything, but the goosebumps scattering across my skin show it has the opposite effect. I turn away from Julian in a rush of self-preservation and allow his mom, Josefina, and mine to fuss over me. The two best friends both have brown hair and eyes, but their different heights, facial features, and personalities set them apart from each other.